I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It's Wednesday, December 23rd. I'm Derek Russell, joined today by Emma Kent. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm good. Derek, how are you?
I am good, Emma. It's good to have you here.
I almost called you Brad.
That's fine.
Sorry.
Most do. It's hard. It's easy to get us confused.
Yeah, you guys look so much alike.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yes.
Tall and slender and short and squatty. Yeah, that's hair and similar. No hair.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
I mean, anyway,
I'm not even throwing you a rope on that.
I don't know where to go with that.
It's fine. Thanks for coming in today. Brad is off and Lauren is off, so I guess that makes you third string. But
third string,
no less
holding
important.
Down the fort.
It's fine. No less important than anybody else. We're a news team. We're a team. There's no I in team.
There is an E.
There is several. There's one.
And my name starts with an E.
And your last name has an E.
It does.
Now.
You're right.
Now.
You're right. It does. It also has an A. Well, it used to. I don't know what my name is, Derek.
You're Brad. You're Brad. This joined
is Brad
today
Locke.
By Brad Locke. Brad's with us today, so that's good. Well, it is Wednesday. We don't have a show tomorrow with it being Christmas Eve, so we're fitting a lot into today's episode. Things we would normally cover on Thursday, we'll talk about today, including my stuff from Scene, which, with it being the Christmas weekend, is not very much to go over in the arts and entertainment world of Northeast Mississippi. But Scott Morris will be joining us for his review of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Oh, you might need to leave the room. You haven't seen it.
I might slip out for that one because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I don't want him to ruin it. Although, I've heard some things already.
He did a good job. There was one thing he said in his review that I wish he had, that I was like, oh, why did you say that? But everything else, I think he did a good job.
Okay.
Not ruining
anything
for anybody.
Well, if you hear the door shut during the movie review, you'll know that it was me.
Fast feet and slamming the door will understand why.
Right.
And tucking your head and going, la, 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 all the way out. Well, we also have Jenna Parsons joining us. But first, we're going to talk about Masterpiece Fridays with Emma.
Yes.
So it's convenient you're already here, where I didn't have to go get you.
Very convenient.
I like it when I don't have to get up. It helps me out a whole lot.
Lazy, lazy, lazy Derek. Brad's not lazy. Anyway, so yeah, this program at Plantersville Middle School, they just started in September. It's kind of like a career and life skills program. I mean, every other Friday, they do some sort of project that teaches the kids a life skill or a career skill or something, you know, like a real world application for some of the things they've been learning. And also they've done like resumes and they've done some mock job interviews. I know they partnered up with Toyota to do some job interviews and had some people from Toyota come in and help the kids learn about, like, you know, what they look for in employees and that kind of thing. So it's pretty cool. It's something that I talked to assistant principal Lindsay Brett over there last week about it. And she's just obviously very passionate about it and just excited to be doing that with the students there. It's Plantersville is kind of a higher poverty area. And so the idea is to give the kids these skills so that they can go out into the world with a skill set that they might not have gotten otherwise, you know, at home or wherever. It's just helping them kind of get a boost before they, you know, go out into the world. So it's really cool.
Of course, the underlying factor here is education. They've got educational speakers coming in to speak, motivational speakers coming in to speak on Fridays before they get started. Do they plan on seeing this program grow? Is it just kind of pilot program to see how it works out in the initial run?
I think it started as a pilot program, but I mean, based on what I've seen and what, you know, what I was talking about with Lindsay Brett, she seems to be confident that it's going to help the kids. I mean, she said she's been looking at things like discipline rates and attendance rates and stuff, and attendance is up, especially on those Fridays that they do that. And she said discipline has been better. And so I think, you know, that's something that they'll keep doing for a while. And she said, you know, she'd love to extend it to some of the other grades there, but kind of just focusing on eighth graders right now.
Good deal.
And then see what happens.
All right. Well, you can read more about the Masterbeats Friday symposium. I don't know the right terminology for it.
Program.
That's a good word. From Plantersville Middle School at in Tuesday's issue of your Daily Journal or online at djournal.com. Also online at djournal.com is where you can find us in the podcast tab, as well as our sister podcasts, Double Coverage, which covers Ole Miss and Mississippi State Athletics, as well as Prep Rally, covering high school athletics. Both of those are weekly podcasts. Of course, with the holidays, the next Double Coverage podcast is going to be released on December 29th, and the next episode of Prep Rally, since we have no clue when Brad Locke is coming back to join us again, will be on January 6th, so be looking for those at djournal.com.
I say both of those are also in iTunes, and so, you know, anybody traveling for Christmas break, you can kind of catch them on some old episodes. The next Double Coverage, that's Tuesday is when it'll come out, and they'll be talking, they'll both be on location talking about the Belk Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and then, of course, high school one will start back right after Christmas break. Websites for those are doublecoverage.djournal.com and preprally.djournal.com, and you can search for each of that in iTunes.
Joining us now, we have Riley Manning. Riley, we've talked a lot about First Christian Church and St. Luke over the past few years. They were two churches that were hit heavily by the 2014 tornado. Auspicious day to be talking about that as bad weather
looms
over us outside. Thank you for that. And we were hoping that First Christian Church, they were hoping that they would be in their new building in time for their Christmas Eve service, but it doesn't look like that's going to pan out for them.
Yeah, that's right. Of the three churches that got hit majorly, First Christian is the only one that was completely flattened. And so in the past year and a half or so, they've been holding service and everything out of a modular unit behind the location of the original church. But now they're putting the finishing touches on the new building. They put the steeple up this week. They've nailed the pews down. They've waxed the floor. There's just some electrical work apparently that needs to be finished off. They could go in. Sherry Horton, the pastor there, said that they could go in just for the Christmas Eve service, but then they'd have to move back out while they finished the work. And she was kind of the mind of, you know, when we go in for the first time, we want to be in for good. So
how far has this put them out now, ideally?
Just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But not too
bad. Not long at all. Yeah. They said she would definitely be out. They would definitely be out by January 11th, because that's when they have to give the modular unit back. So
endurance reasoning, I guess. Yeah. Well, it was a good goal to shoot for, and they got very close. The electrical needs seem to be all that's putting them behind.
That's correct.
In this. Well, what are some other congregations around the area that will be hosting Christmas Eve services?
All kinds of stuff going on around Tupelo on Christmas Eve. Obviously, all of the downtown churches, the three big Baptist churches even, are holding services. I'm kind of particularly curious about the midnight mass at All Saints and St. James.
I've never been to the St. James one many a time.
I've never been to a midnight mass, but it sounds pretty cool. I have, you know, I get really sleepy, so I don't know if I could handle it. But Paul Stevens at All Saints and Lincoln Dahl at St. James both had, both really liked these services, even though Father Dahl is preaching like three services a day from like now till New Year's.
Yeah.
So, All Saints will have its services at 4:30 in the afternoon and 10:45 at night on Christmas Eve. Other stuff going on downtown will be, First Baptist is going to have their service at 5:00. Harrisburg at 5:30, and then Calvary at 6:00 on Christmas Eve. First Methodist will host Candlelight service at 4 and 6, and First Presbyterian will have services at 4:30, 6:00, and 11 p.m. So that'll be cool. And then the only church that I found that was having Christmas Day activities was St. James. They will have, in addition to their 5:00 English Mass, 7 o'clock Spanish Mass, and 11:30 Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve. They will have an English Mass at 9 a.m. on Christmas Day and then a Spanish Mass at 11. Other than that, the Temple of Compassion and Deliverance is going to do a volunteer event on Christmas Day, like they have since 1987, where they get together at Harrisburg and use their facilities to prepare meals that they take out into the area. Bishop Clarence Parks there said that they serve between 700 and 1,000 people across five counties, and you know they hit the civil workers who are on call or on staff that day, fire department, intensive care unit, stuff like that. So it sounds like a really cool event.
Yeah.
Cool. There's if anybody wants to help out with that, Clarence Parks said to just come on over to Harrisburg, where they're going to meet to prepare food between 8 and 8:30. And then at 10:30, they'll go out and start delivering. So that's the plan there. Sounds pretty cool.
Good deal. Lots of good information moving into Christmas Eve. Riley, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
All right, we thank Riley for joining us. And here are today's news memos. You can read more about these stories in your daily journal or online at djournal.com. Commercial air service in Tupelo will resume in March. According to Dennis Sid, the United States Department of Transportation selected Corporate Flight Management to provide service in Tupelo with 30 nonstop round trips per week to Nashville International Airport. Tupelo has been without an air carrier since October 27th when Seaport Airlines left after complaints about its service. CFM will receive a $4.2 million yearly subsidy through the Essential Air Service Program. American Furniture Manufacturing announced on Tuesday that it will add 140 jobs while expanding its operations to Amory, Mississippi. The company will move from the former Pullman Couch Madison House building in Amory, and it will manufacture upholstered couches and sleeper sofas. City of Tupelo will save more than $250,000 over the next 6 years by refinancing eight-year-old bonds. In 2007, the city issued $9.5 million in bonds to build a new fire station, a new police department, and a baseball complex. In a special called meeting on Tuesday afternoon, the city agreed to refund the roughly $4.5 million outstanding at 3.6% interest and issue new bonds at 1.7% interest. Candlelight Memorial will be held this afternoon to remember the service of Sergeant Kevin Gale Stauffer. The ceremony will be hosted at the Link Center on West Main Street starting at 2:30 p.m. Stauffer was killed on December 23, 2013, after he and Officer Joseph Mayer responded to a bank robbery on South Gloucester. And Tupelo police officers had a pleasant surprise for unsuspecting motorists on Tuesday. After pulling over a handful of cars, officers gave the drivers $100 bills. It was the second year a local business decided to give back anonymously as a Secret Santa. A federal judge is delaying a trial for a young Mississippi couple accused of attempting to join the Islamic State. On Friday, United States District Attorney Judge Sharon Aycock pushed the trial back to June 9th. It has been scheduled for January 19th. A lawyer for defendant Jacqueline Deshaun Young of Vicksburg sought the delay. He said more time was needed so Young can undergo psychiatric evaluations for the defense and prosecutors. And that's been your news memo for today.
All right, now we've got our resident foodie, Jenna Parsons, here to talk about the food section. So, Jenna, tell us a little bit about these cheesy bacon potatoes that you've got in your column in today's food section.
Well, it's going to be the last fattening recipe that I'm going to run for a long, long time. But I found the recipe a couple of weeks ago, and I put it in the file of big fattening recipes I want to try before the end of the year. And so made them one night over last weekend, and before I even served them, my son said, "Mom, I wish you'd make potatoes where you slice them real thin and put them in that cheese sauce." And I said, "Well, that's what I'm making, only this is not the one from the box. This is the real thing." And they turned out beautifully, and they were quite delicious. And they heated very well as leftovers. But we won't be seeing that recipe for a long time in our family.
New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
Well, they look delicious.
Bring them to me then, and I'll take care of that nasty problem.
Everybody out there with the New Year's resolution, just bring all your fattening foods to Derek.
Yes, yes.
He volunteers to eat them. I'm sorry, Derek. Anyway. Okay, well, and we've also got a cook of the week. Alice Lute, who grew up in an Italian family in the Mississippi Delta, Which is kind of interesting. So tell us a little bit about Alice and what you guys talked about when you went to interview her.
Well, she was really interesting. She said that she moved back to Tupelo in 2000, and that when she got to the point at her home where she couldn't mow her yard and she couldn't change light bulbs and things, she decided to go to Traceway. She didn't want to wait to go there until she was old and infirm. She wanted to go there while she could enjoy the people that were there and the activities that are there. So she went at 69. And she's in one of those hover round chairs. And so after we did the interview, she wanted to show me some of the things around Traceway, some of the projects she's involved in. She's involved in a garden club and she does a newsletter. And she got in that hover round and I was running down the hall to keep up with her. She was just everywhere. She is full of life and loves to cook for the people there. After she made all these dishes for us to take a picture of, people started coming in because they knew Alice had been cooking, and so she gave away all the food that she had made, and I tasted some of it. It was delicious. But she had an interesting life. She was a nun for a couple of years and knew that she was called by God to do things in His name, but being a nun wasn't it. Mm-hmm. So she spent 40 years working with children, teaching and working in museums, and just a real neat lady with, as far as I can tell, a lot more years to live, a lot of life left in her.
Well, she sounds very cool and very interesting. And so what did she make for you guys when you were there?
She had bought some tamales from Lost Pizza. That's where they buy their tamales because they're made in the Delta, and then Lost Pizza gets them and sells them on their menu. But that's where they get their tamales for all of their meetings. But what she actually made was an Italian breaded steak. It's what you or I would call country fried steak. But it's got garlic and parsley, and oh, it was delicious. And then she made a tomato salad. And she told me that you have to put about 6 ounces of crushed ice on top of the tomatoes with the olive oil and the garlic and let it melt. And I said, why? And she said, because the recipe was old from her family in the time before refrigeration. And so to keep the salad cool, they would chunk ice off of a block of ice that would be in their ice box and put it on top of the tomatoes so that they would stay cool until they were ready to serve. And she said it just doesn't taste the same if they're not watered down a little bit.
That's really interesting.
Oh, and she also made her everything but the kitchen sink soup for us.
I love those kinds of soups. I bet it was delicious.
It was. It was quite good.
All right. Is it lunchtime yet? I'm hungry now. And you also have a culinary challenge, a Christmas food quiz in the food section today. And we're going to see if Derek can answer some of these questions. And Derek has not seen them yet. So this is the real deal. All right.
Okay. Well, I will ask you, you want a gimme first or you want a hard one? We'll start with an easy one.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to give you 4 choices.
Okay.
In the Christmas song, what was roasting on an open fire?
Chestnuts. Yeah, so
well, I didn't even get to tell you the choices.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to tell me the...
Marshmallows, chestnuts, hot dogs, or cashews?
Chestnuts.
All right. Well, that one's correct. Okay. Here's one that's not so easy.
All right.
What is Bûche de Noël? Is it a French croissant, a Christmas goose, a log-shaped dessert symbolizing the log that burns continuously on Christmas night, or a nougat-filled Christmas candy?
I'm going to say the log that burns on Christmas night.
All right, Derek. You're a smarty. Okay, here's one. Nobody's gotten this one.
All right.
What should be eaten on each of the 12 days of Christmas to ensure good luck for the year ahead? A fig, a piece of chocolate, a mince pie, or a raisin?
Fig.
No.
Raisin.
Nope.
Mince pie.
Yep.
See, I got it. Is that all of them? Yeah.
No, there's 17 of them.
Oh. We're not going through all 17?
We're not going through all 17, but I have to tell you.
Give me one more. I thought they were movie related.
Okay. I'll give you a movie
one. There you go.
Let's
I can get a movie one.
Do you want one from White Christmas?
I could tell. Sure.
Okay. Why not? In the movie White Christmas, mm-hmm. what song does Bing Crosby sing to Rosemary Clooney while sharing sandwiches and a glass of buttermilk? Is it Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep, White Christmas, Snow, or Mandy?
Count Your Blessings.
Yes, it is.
Because you and I love White Christmas.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
But I have to tell you, when I came up with the idea to do this quiz, I figured that by the 23rd, people already knew what they were fixing for dinner and didn't need me to tell them, here's some Christmas recipes. You
make everybody panic at the last minute. Right. Jenna's got something better. Let's
so,
scratch it all. We're going back.
So I went online and I looked at, probably a dozen Christmas food quizzes, and I came up with some questions on my own. And when I was telling my husband about it, who is the managing editor for production here, I said, I found 17 questions. I either need to lose two or get three more. So we would have 15 or 20. And he said, oh, no, 17's a good number. Go with 17. And then the next day he comes up and he has doodled on a piece of paper this Christmas tree made out of 17 squares, one for each question. So the art that goes with the challenge, with the quiz on today's Food Front, my husband, Charlie, designed, and each, there are some hints in the pictures. Like, for instance, one of the pictures is chestnuts. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer to the one that you got. But not all the answers are there, but some of them are there.
I understand.
So I hope people have fun with it.
Thanks for joining us today, Jenna.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Morris joining us now to talk about probably the most anticipated film of 2015, at least for the people who paid for it.
And it's a return to form because the last Alvin and the Chipmunks movie was really a disappointment.
Yeah, the third one really dips, but the fourth one's where it takes off.
Yeah, and then here we're back to like we're chipperific right now.
The road chip. No. Oh, we're talking about Star Wars. No, I'm sorry.
If we wanted to make this podcast great again, we can talk about Alvin and the Chipmunks, but we're talking about Star Wars.
Have you seen the 2000—it's been floating around the 2009 Simpsons episode where they go to the movies and it's Star Wars Episode 7 poster next to the Alvin and the Chipmunks 4 poster?
No, I have not.
And once again, the Simpsons predicts the future.
You know, because everyone who works there went to Harvard or Yale.
Yeah.
That's smart. Rather than making the world better, they're just over there making Simpsons episodes. It's probably the best thing for us.
They're making my world better each week. There you go.
Hey, we saw Star Wars, and I'm glad we're doing this because I don't want to get too far into the plot, too far into the story, because I think part of my enjoyment was avoiding a lot of that. I did not, you know, when the first trailer came out, I did watch it, but I didn't want to watch it again. I didn't want to go anywhere and learn any more about it just to kind of maybe have as much of a pure experience as possible. And so I don't want to mess that up for anybody. I'll just say, if you were a fan, well, I'll say plenty of things, but the main thing I'll say is, if you're a fan of the original movies, if you enjoyed them, you will enjoy this. Now, I'm going to talk about the prequels. The prequels, if you suffered through them and hoped they would be better, I think you will enjoy this. I don't think that The Force Awakens is a perfect movie, but I also think that if you had never seen a Star Wars movie and you went in and watched this, first, you'd be confused about why everyone was clapping when different characters came on. But other than that, I think you can enjoy this movie. It's a mixture of old characters and new. We get Princess Leia back, and she turns out to be an alien. They're all aliens from different countries.
Emma's giving you a look.
I'm getting this look. I was hoping for something. I get
general. Out. She's not a princess anymore.
But still, she's kind of a princess.
Yeah.
Han Solo's back. Chewbacca's back.
R2.
R2 is kind of there. C-3PO is there. We have new people. We have Rey.
Which is really who the movie was about, the new people.
Right, the new people introducing us to Daisy Ridley as Rey. And I don't know how to pronounce the guy who...
Boyega?
Yeah, Boyega. There you go.
John played Boyega. Finn.
There you go. You're on top of it. And then Oscar Isaac is Poe, a smart-mouth pilot. You got to have a smart-mouth pilot if you're going to tell a space opera. You know, like in the Star Wars, I think they went back... I would like to get the script for this and the script for what we call Star Wars, but what everybody else calls A New Hope.
Yeah.
But I like to put those two scripts together and see where things collide, because I feel like they used a formula. They used a formula.
There's a lot of the plot beats hitting the same.
A lot of things are lined up on that, and I think that's what fans wanted. And as such, I was kind of annoyed by that, but then I thought, wait a minute now. The expectations for this film were so huge. So many people wanted this film to be good. And it is. So I'm kind of like, so any complaints I have, I just kind of wash away. Because it's a fine couple hours at the theater. And that's really all you want.
No complaints on this side of the table either. I've seen it twice now and enjoyed it even more the second time.
I'd like to say that I'd like to do that. I want to see it again. But we went on opening night because we found out, somebody said they still have tickets at 10 o'clock at night. And I thought, well, could we do it? You know, I thought about it. Because the kids didn't have school the next day. I had work early, so I'd get 3 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep. But we were there. I had to be.
Worth it.
Well, the marketing just kind of slowly wore me down. I thought, no, I'll do it on Sunday when I usually go see movies for review. And, like, no, I had to be there Thursday night.
I think it made it. Was there a crowd in yours? We went at the 7 right before you. We got
yeah.
out.
We had a crowd. It wasn't full. There were places you could have sat, but it was a nice crowd.
Yeah, we were stacked, but it was definitely some of those it makes when people, you know, start clapping when the crawl starts and everything.
Yeah, I started the round of clapping at one part.
Did you?
I can't recall what it was, but I remember starting the round of clapping. And people joined in.
Well, you gave it an A.
I gave it an A. Sean DeMalco.
Yeah.
And here's what something, too. I mean, it's also, there are more adventures to come. I mean, it ends with the promise, I guess, of more to come. I guess the first Star Wars kind of was like a beginning, middle, and end in some ways. And then we have Empire Strikes Back, where you know something else has to happen after that. Mm-hmm. And here, of course, we know there's more to come.
Yes.
And so I imagine now the expectations are even higher for that next movie.
Only a year and a half to wait for episode 8 now.
How does J.J. Abrams sleep at night?
Yeah.
It must be propofol.
Well, I guess the tension is off of him now since he's not doing any of the other ones.
Oh, is he gone?
Yeah.
He's slipping away.
That was him. They agreed for three different directors for all three of them.
Who's the next one?
Rian Johnson that did Looper. With Bruce Willis and
that kind of
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, it was good until it crashed under its own logic.
He did a bunch of Breaking Bad episodes too.
Okay, it's
kind of a big deal in the directing world now. So
well, rock and roll.
And then the guy that did Jurassic World, which I've still not seen, is doing 9. Colin Trevorrow, I believe, is his name.
Yeah, that was I don't know. That was more spectacle than story, but okay then.
Yeah, they've got him.
All right, then good. My expectations are now lower.
There you go. You don't have to go in as high.
I don't have to be as excited anymore.
Well, and you don't have to wait. We've got a Star Wars movie per year for the next 10 years.
The next 10 years?
Because now there's one Christmas next year coming out, too. That's not episode 8.
You know what? They better not get in the way of my Marvel films. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's all Disney, so they'll pat themselves on the back either way. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The Daily Journal is inviting filmmakers to participate in its new Entertain Us movie contest. The contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from 1 second to 5 minutes. They can be shot on an iPhone, a camcorder, or any other device. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January 20th. There is no registration fee. The Ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. The winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend.
I'm more excited to see what a one-second video would be in that scenario. This, of course, will be hosted through Thrive Marketing, which does our website. Thrive Marketing is a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. So check that out at thrive.ms. And, of course, it's Wednesday, which has nothing to do with Thursday, but since there's no Thursday show, it means we talk about the goings-on in Northeast Mississippi on Wednesday.
What's going on?
Everybody follow that? Nothing. It's Christmas. So I did a lovely story.
Well, then Christmas is goings-on.
Christmas is the goings-on. I did a story on the staff's favorite Christmas movies. Picks.
What did you find? What's the most popular Christmas movie in
Die
the office?
Die Hard is the winner, as it should be. As it should be. Die Hard is a Christmas
movie.
And
I was hoping it would be National Treasure.
Explain this to me. Why is it because they show it at Christmas time?
Yeah, there's been like several Christmas days where it comes on, and I've watched it, and so it, I kind of have an association in my mind now.
I got you.
So, I don't know.
They did that with Harry Potter. They always show the Harry Potter movies at Christmas.
Yeah, and so. But there are Christmas scenes in those. You know, the Weasley sweaters.
Movies. A lot of movies have Christmas scenes, but they're not Christmas movies.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. That's okay. What were your two? You gave me two. I don't remember what they were.
Love Actually.
Yeah, which is a fantastic Christmas movie.
It's a wonderful movie. It's hilarious.
And has one of the best scenes in movie history of all time.
When she
gets the CD instead of the locket, and she has to go and she starts making up the bed.
And the Joni Mitchell is playing.
The Joni Mitchell CD. She opens it and it's playing. That scene will be talked about.
It's so sad.
For years down the line. It's one of the best scenes ever.
My favorite scene in that movie is when they're in the car and the kid is wearing the octopus costume.
And they're trying to have the
conversation. And he's trying to get out of the car, and the tentacles are just in the way. It's hilarious.
Well, right before that, when they're going door to door and he says he's a caroler, and the driver starts singing in with him, they're singing Good King. That's one of the funniest parts of the whole movie.
It's good stuff. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Love Actually is a great one. What was your other one?
It's a Wonderful Life. Classic.
Everybody loves It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. I love It's a Wonderful Life. It's a good one. I gave Die Hard because Die Hard is a great one. It is a Christmas. You've never seen Die Hard,
I've never
have you?
Seen Die
I knew
Hard.
That was about to be the next words out of your mouth.
Right.
This Christmas,
I wouldn't know.
You make Jacob sit you down and watch Die Hard.
Watch Die Hard.
Watch all of them,
too.
Yeah. How many are there?
Five.
Five.
We really only need the one.
I don't know if I can make that kind of commitment.
That's fine.
On Christmas.
But you want to borrow all the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
Okay. We can borrow all the Die Hard ones, too.
Okay.
Really just one's the Christmas.
So what
two's
else?
Christmas, two Christmas. Too, but one's the actual... One is a Christmas movie.
Did anyone else say that Die Hard was their favorite Christmas
Chris
movie?
Chris did. Rod did. A couple other people did.
And isn't there the line on 3, too, when they're all breaking in? Doesn't it say, it's Christmas, you can steal City Hall right now?
Yeah.
So I've always argued that 3 is a Christmas movie, too.
But it's actually in the middle of summer.
But
so.
They talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's Die Hard.
It's a good one.
I'll have to watch it
you
this
have
Christmas.
Watch Die Hard. It's all Christmas music in
I'll
it.
Watch it after National Treasure.
Come out to the coast. I'll have some laughs. None of these are getting. That's fine.
These references are beyond me.
That's fine. It's okay. That's fine.
All right.
The Muppet Christmas Carol. I gave this one. It's always a...
Classic.
A classic.
Yeah.
White Christmas. Jen and I talked about that earlier. That's been one of my favorites since I was a kid. Have you ever seen White Christmas?
Mm-mm. There's a lot of Christmas movies that I haven't seen, and I don't know why. It's very strange.
Okay. See, I say Die Hard is one because a lot of people say Home Alone is one, and Home Alone's like...
It is.
It takes place at Christmas, but it's not really a Christmas movie.
So let's break this down here. What qualifies a movie as being a Christmas movie?
I think it
movie?
Has to revolve around Christmas to be a Christmas movie.
Like the central
theme needs to somewhat be Christmas. Home Alone's not really a, which I agree that it is, but my argument is if you include Home Alone, you have to include Die Hard because Home Alone is pretty much Die Hard with a kid.
I've never thought of it that way.
It really is. There's no difference. Touché. They both take place at Christmas, on Christmas Eve, right around that time period. And, yeah, it's basically just Die Hard with a kid.
Hmm. Well, no, it's the opposite, though. Because,
kind of.
Because on one, the bad guys are holed up, and Bruce Willis is trying to get in there and get them out. And then on the other one...
Well, Bruce Willis is in the building, so he's already there
when the terrorists take over.
But, you know,
he's trying
Home
to take
Alone,
the building back from the terrorists.
Right.
Where in Home Alone, the terrorists are trying to take the building
from
the kid.
But it's kind of the same. It's kind of, you know, there's some beats in there that are kind of the same. Just watch Die
For
Hard.
For more on ways that Home Alone and Die Hard are similar, please read tomorrow's Daily Journal.
Yeah, I didn't go that far with it, but...
I'll go to Clickle.
Go to Clickle. I said Scrooged. I love Scrooged.
I don't think I've seen that.
I thought Bill Murray. Two. You only gave me two.
Well, I had to
How
fill
many
up the front
picked?
Page. Yeah, I gave everybody else two. I gave like five. That's fine. Scrooged? Nobody?
No.
Bill Murray? 1988, 89?
You've been spending too much time during Christmas Carol.
Scrooged is great. It's a modern day Christmas Carol with Bill Murray.
It sounds good.
It is good. It's got Bill Murray in it.
Well, I will say, the other day I tried to watch A Very Murray Christmas on Netflix, yeah. And it was really weird.
Yeah, it was very much his style of humor.
I thought it was funny when he and Chris Rock were singing. I thought it was really funny. That one was
funny. Did you stick around for George Clooney
popping
out? That was pretty funny. When they sang together, it was pretty good.
Maybe I'll have to go and back and watch it.
There are some interesting choices in that one on Netflix. But I think actually the winner, not Die Hard, was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, because that's everybody cites that one, especially our generation. Besides, that one is a classic Christmas movie released in 89, I believe. So a lot of us grew up with that one. You've never seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the next words out of your mouth.
Correct.
You got another trivia question right there.
Get him out of here. I can't do this anymore. I'm dying in here. Oh, come on. Really? Have you seen any of the Vacation movies?
No.
You have a busy weekend ahead of you.
Apparently so.
Is Jacob seeing Christmas Vacation?
Probably. You're going to hate me for saying this.
Go ahead.
Last year was the first year I'd ever seen It's a Wonderful Life.
We're not going to have an episode tomorrow because Emma killed Christmas, but we will be back next week.
But I loved it, and now I can say, I mean, I watched it a lot.
That's good.
I watched it many times.
I'm always happy when people discover new things and love them, so that's great.
Yep.
It's for Christmas Vacation, I guess you just... I would be interested to talk to somebody, Emma would be a good example.
I'm right here.
Yeah, of somebody who has seen it of age for the first time. And not grew up with it as a kid.
We'll do this. We'll do an experiment.
Okay.
I'll come back after the holidays.
My hypothesis is you won't really like it, but being older, but we shall see. I know you won't like Die Hard.
You don't know that.
I know. I know much. I'm just glad you liked It's a Wonderful Life.
Of course.
White Christmas. White Christmas is so good.
Okay, make me a list.
Danny Kaye.
And I'll watch them and I'll come back in.
This is your list. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, White Christmas, Die Hard.
Okay, I'll come back and we'll do like a review.
Do you like Home Alone?
Yeah.
I was never big on Home Alone. Like, it's good, but...
And then there's people
who like Home Alone 2 more, and I'm like, you're weird.
We shouldn't trust those people.
No. Somebody said it, though. You'll have to find out in Christmas Eve edition of the Daily Journal who said they liked Home Alone 2 more than Home Alone 1. I'll give you a hint. He was on the show today.
Was it Riley Manning?
It was Riley Manning. Riley, what are you thinking? Anyway.
All right.
We'll be back next week with brand new episodes on Monday, Wednesday, and back on Thursday for New Year's Eve. Emma will be joining us again, perchance.
Maybe.
If you're lucky, listeners. Check us out online, memo.djournal.com. Also on Twitter, @djournalmemo. All these stories you read about are either in Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or we're going into the future, tomorrow's issue of your Daily Journal. So check that out online, djournal.com, or in your paper copy. And
be careful.
We hope everybody is safe. As we said earlier, we don't know the weather conditions as of yet, as we record in the morning and release in the afternoon. So hopefully nothing too major will happen this afternoon with the severe weather warnings we are looking down the scope for. So I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke.
And we will see you guys next time.